Today's message is entitled, Calm in the Storm. God's direction for life is a homicide of a revival in the Word, a website designed to help identify with the Word of God concerning the economic, political, and religious times which we live. Identification of biblical and other references can be found in the print edition of this message. Calm in the storm is needful in the hour in which we live. Is experiencing turmoil, chaos, and extreme violence with little care for human life that God so miraculously created in His image. In the eye of a storm, there is calm because the strong surface winds that converge toward the center never reach it. The force within deflects the wind away from the center, causing the wind to rotate around the center of the storm instead of outward where most of it goes. The calm in the storm of one's life can become of such a nature when one's life is tuned in to the peace giver. Jesus said, "You shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes and divers of various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." It was noted that Jesus described the characteristics of the time leading to the end of the age. He said there would be religious deception, political unrest, natural disasters, wars, and persecution of believers in Him. In the face of all these happenings, Jesus encouraged the believers to preserve in faithfulness, finding calm the storm of life in His name. We're witnessing eye-opening world events through electronic means as they are happening, leaving many gasping at the events taking place with seemingly no recourse or peace, no peaceful solution due to man's feeble effort to rectify the situation. We're witnessing the fulfillment of Prophet Isaiah's warning, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, which justify the wicked for reward, take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." We're witnessing an effort to dissolve godly influence that seeks to oppose ungodly elements attempting to dominate mankind. We're witnessing ungodliness easing out righteousness that previously existed. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace is a steadiness of mind under stress, becoming quiet or calm, not stormy, undisturbed by passion or emotion, not agitated or excited. A storm can become a violent product of human society, a civil, political, or domestic commotion, sedition, insurrection, or war, imposing violent outbreak, clamor, or turmoil that would bring destruction and havoc in one's life if one is not tuned in to the peace giver. Matthew records a moment in the lives of Jesus' disciples when they become fearful and afraid in the midst of a storm. When he or Jesus entered to a ship and his disciples followed him, there arose a great tempest or storm in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, as he or Jesus was asleep. His disciples came to him and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." He said to them, "Why are you so troubled? Why are you so fearful, you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. Matthew records the disciples marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him?" Mark recorded, "Here Jesus rose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Calm in the storm of life can rarely be stilled when one makes Jesus the Lord of their life. We are experiencing turmoil, terror, and confusion in the world is slowly reaching God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, out of its equation, allowing the ungodly to gain the upper hand. Those who seek to dominate, with power struggle ensuing as to who will be the ultimate dominating factor. We're seeing a cancer culture to erase the history of mankind is not acceptable to the ruling faction. We're seeing the programming of the youth, to accept the culture that fits the agenda of those seeking control. Hitler attempted to fit the world into his idea of the perfect race, destroying millions in the process by elimination of the undesirables. A faction of his idealism still survives today. The psalmist wrote of who is able to bring calm in the storm. O Lord God, who is a strong Lord like to you, or to your faithfulness around about you? You rule the raging of the sea. When the waves therefore arise, you calm them. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man or at their wit's end. They cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm calm so that the waves are still. God's word consistently turns one's attention to God and to calm the storm. It points out the feebleness of man's efforts to do so. God can use man to accomplish his desires, if he so chooses, but will equip him to do so. The psalmist knew who to turn to when distress and anguish came his way, but at the same time did not forsake the same commitment when things were going well and praising and acknowledging him. He stated, "Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you did deliver them." In a poem entitled, "This Too Will Pass Away," by an unknown author found these words, "If I can endure for this minute whatever's happening to me, no matter how heavy my heart is or how dark the moment may be, if I can remain calm and quiet with my entire world crashing about me, secure in the knowledge God loves me, if I can but keep on believing what I know in my heart to be true, the darkness fade with the morning, and this will pass away too. Then nothing in life can defeat me. For as long as this knowledge remains, I can suffer whatever is happening, for I know God will break all the chains that are binding me tight in the darkness, trying to fill me with fear. For there is no night without dawning. I know that my morning is near." Scripture reveals, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it and is safe." God has equipped his people to fight the good fight of faith. Apostle Paul wrote, "Be strong in the Lord and power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or schemes of the devil." For we wrestle not against flesh and blood or humanity, but against principalities, rulers, against powers, authorities, against the rulers, world leaders, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. The armor of God consists of truth, breastplate of righteousness, gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Apostle Paul complimented such by mentioning an important ingredient, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Apostle Paul noted, "Though we walk or live in the flesh and the body, we do not war or fight after or according to the flesh or human standards. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal of the flesh, but mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or arguments of every high thing which exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The psalmist in the 91st Psalm noted, "God is a refuge and a fortress to the believer. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. You should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, or destruction that awaits at noonday. Because you made the Lord your refuge. Glory be to God. Even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh to your dwelling, for he shall keep his angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways. The prophet Isaiah foreseeing a time when Israel will rise out of her darkness and shine with God's glory, and saying, Arise, shine, for your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, the darkness or evilness shall cover the earth, but the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. This could readily apply to any nation as shining forth with the glory of God being its benefactor, who has not forsaken his ways, allegiance to his name, or walking in accordance with his word. For nations who have walked away from his blessings, that preserved and enriched their lives, having allowed evilness of man to engulf the land, rather than being in opposition to such, God's word opens a door for repentance. If my people, hallelujah, glory be to God, O Honda Bokiri Akandaya, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, turn away from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. It was noted that while this promise was originally given to King Solomon regarding the people of Israel, it is applicable to all who will call on the Lord in repentance and faith. The prophet Jeremiah cried out, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long shall your vain or wicked thoughts lodge with you? It was noted that such thinking today can arise from many sources, absorbing immoral movies and television, carelessly surfing the internet, listening to malicious talk, ignoring the word of God, and giving into a materialistic worldview. Will we allow the sanctifying scriptures, oh hallelujah, oh hondo wakili akandaya, and the purifying blood of Christ to cleanse our hearts and minds, or we persist in sin-filled thinking and experience God's judgment? Where there is no fear of God, no reverence for God, every evil can and will abound. The idea that we humans will be good without God is a deceptive fallacy. When people are devoid of the knowledge and wisdom that come from believing God, having reverence for Him, they become morally corrupt, exceedingly evil, violent, and destructive. We are seeing a bombardment of evilness amassing in many lands, with infiltration described by Apostle Peter. Those who walk after according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, who speak evil of things they understand not, shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Spots they are in blemishes, sporting, reviling themselves of their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Begone, go enticing unstable souls. While they promise liberty, they themselves are servants of destruction. The calm in the storm is remaining faithful to the peace giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not giving in to the pressures of this world. Apostle Peter wrote, Seeing that you know these things, what is forthcoming, beware lest you also, being led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In reference to a calm in the storm, the prophet Nahum wrote, The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows them that trust in him. It was noted that the Lord is pictured pouring out his judgment, yet is his stronghold, a calm in the storm, to the day of trouble, to all who trust in him. The prophet predicted both judgment and hope, conditional man's response to God. The psalmist wrote, The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, accordingly as we hope in you. May the Lord bless and keep you this day, is my prayer.